haven't drunk coffee in about 8 days, so if I'm a little strung out tonight, it's not my fault. I drank a cup before church. Oh, my gosh. Ooh. I feel it. Boy, do I feel it. Yeah, Pastor Brown, oh, my God, yeah. Whew, man, hope I can sleep tonight. I drank coffee, and I was on my treadmill today. Hit the weights, working out. Turn my music on, and my playlist came on. And unless you're Mexican, you don't know what this song is, but the song Tao Tao came on. And unless you're Mexican, you don't know what that song is. And El Sonido came on. I said, oh, my God. So I got real. El Tao Tao. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, tinta. You know what I'm talking about, Mexican. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, Julio. You know. If you're Mexican, you know what the name of that song is. Tao Tao, Tao Tao. So I'm real wired up with the coffee. And then Baby Shark came on, too. So my algorithm really had it going on today, boy. Baby Shark to Tao Tao to El Sonidito. So, man, I needed it too. But, I'm almost sweating a little bit because that coffee. But I sort of needed the coffee a little bit. I was slurring real bad. I was going to call Pastor before church. And say, ah, big dog, take it. But that coffee sent shockwaves through me. So it's working. I've really been going through Philippians a lot and Ephesians and Colossians. But I'm going to minister to you tonight something that it might help you. I guarantee you it will. It's about me, about something that I have been going through. And it's a pet peeve in my life that I've had. Me, a pet peeve. I know you don't have any, do you? You don't. No, not at all. But this one was, I've had it for like 30 years. And Gary Carpenter made this famous years ago, and Pastor Bong used it a lot, and I use it now. It's called the Nanya. What is it, Homer? Nanya. But I'm going to tell you what it's not, for your conscience sake. It's nothing bad, nothing immoral, not alcohol, not drugs, not the lust for other things, nothing like that. But it's something that really bothered me. I called Pastor, and I was going through this about 2 weeks ago, but he wasn't available. So I called Gary Carpenter for his advice. I said, Gary, I've had this in my life for a while. And really, I said, Gary, this year, Gary, I've set back the meal like never before. And just because I just want more. God, because the gospel that we preach is the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts. We're not looking for anything new. It's new to us, but it's not new. It's the gospel in its original form is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. That's what we're after, the full gospel. So I called Gary. I said, man, Gary, I got this thing in my life. And Gary gave me some good, wise, solid counsel. What's your issue? Gary said, none of you, but I'm Mexican, so mine is, ¿qué te importa? It's the same thing as none of you, but in Spanish, none of your business. ¿Qué te importa? So say it with me, ¿qué te importa? Okay, none of your business, okay. I might tell you by the end of the service, but, and yes, I like Miss Candy. She's okay, that's not it. That's not my pet peeve. maybe, no, man. And it really bothered me, and I called Gary Carpenter, it's about 2 weeks ago. I said, Gary, let me share my heart with you. I wanted to talk to Pastor Brown, but usually before 12 o'clock, he won't pick up the phone. That's his quiet time, and that's understandable. I don't pick up my phone often. Only if it's my wife or pastor, well, I pick it up because I know if they call me at that time, it's usually important. So I'll call, and I'll answer them. No offense, but I called Gary. I said, I called the big dog, but he didn't answer the phone. So I'm calling you now, Gary. The reason I'm calling you is because I called Pastor first, but anyway, I got this issue in my life, Gary, and it really, it bothers me. And this past year, Gary, I've fasted more than I ever have. I've prayed, not because I wanted to, just it's with no effort. I could just spend the day just hearing my Bible and just spending time with Jesus. Why? Because I want the gospel manifest. That's what we want in this church. We want to see the gospel manifested. We've been preaching it for 30 years. And we have to an extent. But we want the gospel manifest. So Gary gave me good sound advice regarding the Keti. But then I went one step further. I said, well, I went to Gary. I got three elders, Pastor Bronk, of course. He's the first one that I usually call. If I can't get a hold of him, I'll call Gary or Barry. Once in a while, I'll talk to Jim Martin. Jim Martin is an elder, too. I don't know him as close as I do Gary and Barry, but I do know him, and I respect everything that he says. I talked to Jamie Legault. She's very awesome. She loves the Word of God. Mike Church. I value their input tremendously. But I called Gary this day. I said, this is my issue, Gary. And he listened to me and real quietly gave me some feedback. And I was pleased with his counsel. But then I said, Lord, I need to go to you first, Lord. Regarding anything that I go through. How many of you know that this fixes everything? Everything is fixed in God's word. If we can believe it. All we got to do is believe it. So I said, Lord, for 30 years this thing has fought me, Lord. Overcoming pornography was easier than overcoming this pet peeve, Lord. And I would go to my room and I would cry. My wife knows what I'm talking about. Now, my wife, I don't know if anybody has been more gracious to me than her. Very gracious to me. Very. She said, when we first moved in together, it's nothing to brag about, but she was 18, I was 21, and we fornicated for about 4 years till we got married. And she said, I was, even the first year of living together, she couldn't cook. And she would try to cook. She always tried. She never could at 18 years old. What could you do? She tried to cook, and she said, I was so mean, I would get the food, taste it, and throw it away. Threw it in the trash because it was terrible. I learned how to cook, woman, and she learned how to cook. She cooked good now, obviously. But she was so gracious to me for all them years. And when this thing happens, I clam up a little bit. I clam up, and I go isolate myself. I despise it. I despise it. And my wife says to me, honey, when it flares up, she says, honey, you're 90% better than what you used to be. That's not enough for me, man. Relax, she said, you're 90% better than what you used to be. Yes, you still struggle with it. But honey, you're 90% better than what you used to be. I'm real surprised, honey, that you never killed nobody growing up. Surprised you never killed me or killed anybody else in sincerity. You're 90% better than what you used to be. But still, when it would flare up, I'd go to my closet. I'd cry. I said, this need not be. Not for 30 years, man. I overcame pornography a lot easier than overcoming this. And some Christians are still stuck on pornography. And then I asked the Holy Ghost, I said, Lord, I talked to him in sincerity that day. I said, Lord, I know this isn't by works, Father. I fast because I know I'm eradicating unbelief. I pray in the Spirit to edify my spirit, Lord. I spend time in your word to renew my thought process, to renew my mind. Lord, but why is this happening, Lord? Why? And I really didn't want to minister to this to you. I didn't want you to think less of me. The Lord said, no. Go to the body, because they got pet peeves too. This will help some of them. I said, Lord, what do I do? This needs not be, Lord. And I said to the Lord, I overcame pornography a lot easier than this thing here, Lord. What do I do? I went to sleep that night asking the Lord, where do you want me to go in the scripture? I know your word is the answer to my problem. Where do I go to deal with my issue? I went to bed that whole night. Romans 6 went through my spirit the whole night. And I knew that's when he talks to me. When he talks to me in my sleep, in my spirit, I usually get up and I meditate that scripture or that portion of scripture or that book the next morning, the whole day. So I got into Romans 6. This is going to be 101. There's something he wanted me to see, and it has worked, because it's been 2 weeks and this thing hasn't even come close to flaring up. I'm going to tell you what it is. I flare up with anger sometimes. I'm sorry, but I flare up with anger. This is going to be an excuse. My dad was a good man. He was a supplier. But I act to an extent after 30 years the way he did towards me growing up. If my dad said, go get the shovel from the truck, he would intimidate me so much where I couldn't find the shovel. And it was right there in front of me. And he would yell at me in front of everybody. Bad, though. I mean, I wasn't like that. But I flare up. And when I flare up, it's not habitual, but one too many times is too many for me. It's just way too many. So I began to go through Romans 6. I felt the Lord woke me up and said, again, second time he's told me this, go to the book of Romans and look up the tenses. Look up the tenses in the first 7 or 8 verses of Romans chapter 6. And I did. And no one has taught Romans like Pastor Dave. No one. No one has ever taught it like him. And I hadn't been in Romans in probably years. So I asked the Father, Lord, I want help. This day need not be in my life, Lord. So I went into Romans, studying the Greek, understanding the tenses, what it was used in. I'm quoting New King James. By the way, King James is my favorite, but I have the Bible in New King James. So, and they're $80, so the CD, so I use New King James. So I want to quote the New King James here tonight regarding a pet peeve in my life. Whether this can help you in your personal walk with Christ, I don't know, but I think it can. The first 7 verses of Romans 6, remember, I knew this, but when Paul said in Philippians 3:10 that I may know him, that word know is a word ginosko in the Greek. It's an intimate word. And you can't know him, you can't ginosko him until you count all things but dung. You won't know him if you have idols and sacred cows in your life. You won't know him. You won't ginosko him until everything is counted as dung. Everything. Paul counted his pedigree as dung. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel. Of the tribe of Benjamin. Concerning zeal, a Pharisee, I count all this but dung. that I may know him, that I may ginosko him. But to ginosko him, to know him in an intimate manner, you got to count everything, man, every single thing as dung. Your idols, your wants, your desires, your needs, what you think you need, what you think you like, sit in his presence and it will eradicate. This one thing made me sick to my stomach. Well, you're this problem, sir, son? Yes, Lord, I do. Well, Romans 6, meditate it, look up the tenses. So I went through it for 3 solid days, chapter 6, praying in the spirit, like our pastor teaches, and hearing the CD over and over again, stopping, put on pause, lifted up my hands, worshiping the Father for the word of God. Paul said in Romans 6, I told you now, I said I wasn't going to tell you what it was, but my pet peeve was I flare up sometimes. No, they should not be. So I wanted to fix that. And since I did what the Holy Ghost asked me to do, I sent so much victory in that area because of the word of God. Romans 6, starting in verse 1, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's he say? Certainly not. How shall we that died to sin and no longer therein? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, were baptized into his what? Death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that just like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even what? Even so we also should walk what? In newness of life. Where we have been united together with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also of resurrection. The first 5 verses, he's redundant. He says the same thing, but in different terminology. He says the same thing in 5 verses, but in a different way. 6 times in 7 verses, he uses the aorist tense. Aorist tense means it's done. You died, Homer. When you internally, we're talking about internal death. You died the day you gave me your life. Aorist tense, 6 times, A-O-R-I-S-T, aorist tense. That means it's done. There's no duration necessary. It's done. You died to sin. You died. Are you with me? If you're born again, you what? You died to sin. You've been declared righteous in your spirit. Verse 2. Know ye not? Obviously, the church did not know. Or Paul would have asked a question. Know ye not? Well, the church does not know, including myself, to the fullest extent. I knew it, but not to the fullest extent that I know it now. Know ye not that many of us who were baptized into Jesus were baptized into the death? The way Christ died on Calvary, you died. The way Christ rose from Hades, you weren't in Hades, but you rose. When Christ died on the cross, you died with him internally. Now, all this is the Lord teaching me regarding the problem that flared up in my life on occasion. And I didn't like it. He is teaching me. Know the 6 times he says in 7 verses, you are dead. died. Aorist tense. No duration necessary. Internally, the sin nature has been put to death. Homer. Six times in seven verses, he says the same thing, the aorist tense. Know ye not, body of Christ, know ye not, family prisoner, that you died. And the day you died, you rose again from spiritual death. I have pounded into my spirit, into the mind of my spirit for three solid days, man. I put in me so much that I would take a bath, get up, brush my teeth. It would just go in me over, just come out of me. I was laughing because something had come to life in me. I knew I was dead, but now I knew that I was dead to self. Six times in the aorist tense. He uses the aorist tense that you died and now you live. In Colossians, when he says put on and put off, that's in the aorist tense. Pastor Bronk, 3 or 4 years ago, said something so simple and so profound. He used the word, the sanctified no. How's the sanctified no work? Okay, well, this girl is flirting with you. No. You don't have to be spiritual. It's not going to happen. That's the sanctified no. Your friends want to go drinking with you? No. Don't have to pray about it. That's a no inside of you. Your boy wants you to go uptown, cruising with uptown to a bar. No. The sanctified no. Colossians uses put on and put off more than any other book, I think. And that's used in the aorist imperative, meaning put on, put off right now. That's the imperative. It's a commandment, a aorist commandment. Don't do it. If it uses an aorist imperative, if you said that means don't do it, then what's that mean? Then don't do it, Pastor Bronk. So that slapped me in the face. I want to get rid of this problem of flaring up, but I can't. But the Bible says, put it off. Aorist imperative. It's a commandment. Put it off. Renew the mind of your spirit, Homer. So I let it soak in me over, over, and over again. Till it started talking to me. Real in my spirit. And I can feel it working in me so much right now. The aorist imperative is this. Put on. When anger tries to flare up, no, I'm not going to let it. Now, am I saying don't fast, don't pray in the spirit? That is far, far from what I'm saying. But internally, you are set free. You die to sin and you are alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 6. Again, the first five verses is redundant. He says the same thing in different terminology, but he says the same thing. You died and you rose again. You died, you rose again. Verse 6, I think. Knowing this, knowing what? Verse 1 through 5. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Knowing this, knowing what? Verse 1 through 5. You died, Homer. You died. Now you live unto me. Knowing this, your old man, Homer, your own sinful nature was crucified with Christ. Christ literally paid the price for my sin. And me, through grace, died with him when he literally went through all the steps of death. Went into Hades in perfection and paid my price. He died. I died with him. He rose from Hades. I was in Hades. I was here spiritually dead, and I rose from spiritual death, all through grace, through faith that he did it for me. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Knowing what? Verse 1 through 5. You died, boy. You died. You died to anger. You died to malice. You died to fornication. You died to covetousness. You died. Put it off. Aorist tense. Stop it now. Continue the journey of mortifying, but you got the power through the rebirth to say no right now. In other words, like Pastor Bong said, the sanctified no is in you. It is in you. Put it on. Put it off. The aorist tense. It's done. Duration is not necessary. Put on the new man. Put off the old. That is a commandment. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's in the aorist tense. Do it now. That's what he showed me regarding this matter. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. Aorist tense. The old man was crucified with him. We died. We were crucified with Christ. Aorist tense. It happened. It's not going to happen, Ms. Gay. It happened. When? The day you got born again. It happened. Knowing this, knowing what? Verse 1 through 5. The aorist tense. Colossians chapter 3. The aorist imperative. It's a commandment. Put on the new man, Homer, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created him. Put. You never, ever have to commit adultery again. I'm not talking to anybody in here. I'm generalizing. You never have to fornicate again. Never. You never have to get drunk again. In the words of Pastor Bronk, there's a sanctified no. In the words of the Bible, there's you're dead and alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're alive to him and dead to self. In the voice of Pastor Bronk, the sanctified no comes out of your spirit, man. You never have to curse again. You never have to flare up again. You never have to steal again. You never have to gossip again. Why? Because of the aorist imperative. It says, put on. Put off. That means do it right now. And the voice of the big dog, the sanctified no, exists now. But we keep renewing our mind with Romans 6. I started crying because I was so happy at what the Holy Ghost was teaching me in simplicity. Knowing this, knowing what? Verse 1 through 5, big dog. Knowing this, that you died, Homer. Aorist tense. Your sin nature, Homer, was put to death. Now that nature is a nature of righteousness. I said it four times in the first five verses to prove a point to you. Knowing this, knowing what? Verse 1 through 5. You died to self. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. For he that had been, what's that? Verse 6 or verse 7. He that has died has been freed from sin. Aorist tense. He who has died, listen to what the writer said, has been freed from sin, from a flare up. I'm talking to me. I'm not talking to you. He taught me how to get rid of that flare with his word. With his word. I didn't go to Pastor Bronk. I went to Gary, but the Bible is just a little sharper than Gary. Gary, I love Gary. He's a super elder in my life. Him, Barry Johnson, and Pastor Bronk What they tell me, I do. But there's one above them, and his name is the Holy Ghost. Amen. So I went straight to the source. I need your help. I'm struggling. 30 years I flared up. 30 years, Lord. This needs not be. I'm going to be very honest with you. I want you to know, the other day, I was walking, playing with my granddaughters. They love apples. I got my refrigerator in my house, in my room. I got my fiber bars in there, etc. And the granddaughters, they love going in there stealing my apples. So all my kids were in the living room. I heard my granddaughters. Now you want to take me out of my prayer closet when I hear them granddaughters. If they're going to be loud and annoy me, I got to go give them a kiss. The day I wanted to give him a kiss, the other day, about 2 weeks ago, went towards him, all happy like a grandpa. I heard big mama and little mama. Took him an apple, was walking, dun, 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 and bam, I ran into the door jamb. Hard. It hurt, man. It hurt a lot. I said something I shouldn't have said. Not a major word, but still wrong. And my kids heard it. I felt that tall. My kids heard it. It wasn't a bad one, but bad enough for me. I knocked the mess out of myself. Went to my room. I will not normalize the gospel. I won't call my mistake as normal. I will not. Not the path that we're on. I won't normalize it. Hit myself hard, big dog, hard. Bam. Oh, I was so mad. And myself. No, I'm sorry. This is what I said. And I said it. I was hurt, man. It hurt physically, but I said to the Lord, why couldn't you help me, man? I questioned God. God didn't make me blind. But I said within me, why? Why couldn't you guide me? Why couldn't you guide me? I'm walking, minding my own business. I want to give an apple to my granddaughters. Why couldn't you guide me? You know, I love you. I love spending time with you. Why? And I just shut up when I said that. I knew I went too far. Went to my room. My wife walked in and said, what happened? And I heard my son say, he just opened the door real hard. And my wife was there comforting me. I said, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So I need help, Lord, with this. And the Lord began to teach me. This lesson really is towards me. If it can help you, then so be it. It probably is. Without showing of hand, do you have a pet peeve in your life? Something that you do that you know shouldn't be there? Well, let me tell you something. You died. You died. Internally. Knowing this, knowing what? Verse 1 through 5. Pastor Bronk, you died. Yes. Miss Candy, you died. Pastor Dave got it so right. So right. When he would say it, he would say it with an absolute passion where you knew he believed it. He said, you did it because you wanted to. He was so right. You said it, Homer, because you wanted to. And I believed it because Pastor Dave believed it. And I said it because Pastor Dave said it. But now I say it because I see it in the Word. Six times in seven verses, he uses the aorist tense. It's done, boy. No duration necessary. It happened when you got born again. You died internally. And you were made righteous that very moment. Ephesians chapter 4. Colossians says, the aorist imperative, the sanctified, know that Pastor Brown preaches, is now. If you said it, guess what? There's 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. This is what I would do. I would flare up and I would go to the room and do something I shouldn't do. I would beat myself up over saying it. That's the worst thing that you can do. That was the biggest mistake that I made. I'm not perfect. He knows my heart. He knows what I want. So I would make a mistake, big dog. I'd go to that room because then you pray, but I would beat myself up. How could you say that word in front of your children? How could you? And you call yourself a preacher? But 2 John, 1 John chapter 2 says, my little children, regarding a mistake, my little children, these things I write to you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Validation of 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you think you can sin and not confess your sin? You better read 1 John again. You better be confessing your sin. And I don't want to mislead you. This isn't a chronic issue. But one too many times was way too many for me. My wife said, you're 90% better. I don't want to be 90% better. I want to be better, period. I don't want it to act up. Paul said in the aorist imperative, put it on and put it off. If he said it, then I can do it. I know I got to renew my mind. I know I do. And I renew to the day that I die. But I don't want another episode like that again. I do not want another episode of anger. I do not want it. And if I slip up again, big dog, 1 John chapter 1, verse 2. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. And 1 John chapter 1, 9. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. Verse 9. And for 2 weeks, I didn't even come close to flaring up because of the Word of God. Gary's counsel was awesome. I went straight to the Word, man. Over and over again. Pouring God's Word into my spirit. Renewing my mind, the mind of my spirit. Fasting more. Praying that crazy unknown tongue. Praying in tongues. Stopping during Romans 6. I thank you, Father. I thank you. I thank you that I died. Yes, Jesus. I died, Lord, to flare-ups. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer serve sin, for he that has died, that's us, has been freed from sin. Now we know if we die with Christ, we know that we shall also what? Live with him. How he died, we died. How he rose, we rose. What time? Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. I can tell you for 2 weeks, maybe a little bit more, there's been no flare-up. And when it comes, the word of God speaks to me, Pastor Brown. You don't have to flare up. He beats me to the flare-up punch. He beats me to it. That's the power of God's word. That's the power of renewing your spiritual mind with the word of God. In closing, these landing this plane tonight, Romans chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. If you do have a pet peeve in your life, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But if you do, if you make a mistake, don't do what I did. Don't beat yourself up. If you beat yourself up, you're going to do what I've been telling you for years not to do. You're going to believe the mirage. You're going to believe it. But Paul said, Romans chapter 6, verse 11, he said, likewise, you also reckon yourself dead indeed into sin, but alive in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. He said, you likewise reckon or consider yourself dead to sin. Why? Why should I consider myself dead to sin? Why? Because I died to sin. When? 30 years ago. When I knelt down in my bed and asked Christ to forgive me all my sins, I died that morning to self. So, if it flares up again, which I don't believe it will, but if it does, I have provision through the blood and the cross. Paul said, reckon, Homer, likewise, reckon, consider yourself indeed dead to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Reckon. If your pet peeve surfaces again, ask for forgiveness. Once. Don't dwell on your pet peeve. Reckon yourself dead indeed. And why? Because you died. You made a mistake. Go to 1 John. What a mistake that you made. He is the propitiation for our sins. And please, I want to reiterate, I don't want you to think at all this was that I'm involved in grave sin. I am not. Most people won't even consider the flare-up wrong in their own personal walk with God. They'll normalize it. I can't normalize it. Not on the path that we're on. I will not normalize it. There is no sexual immorality in my life. There is no alcohol or drug abuse. There is none that exists in my life. It does not exist. But flare-ups do. But they haven't in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Why? Because Romans 6 has grabbed me and slapped me right in the face for about 3 or 4 days. And I love it. Colossians says, put on. Put off anger. Put it off. When? Well, Lord, I'm going to die to it. Okay, that's fine. But the wording is in the aorist imperative. It's a commandment. Do it right now. Do it right now. And if you don't do it right now, go to the blood. And keep renewing your mind. But the commandment is do it right now. Do it now. It's the aorist imperative. It is a commandment. Gay, Homer, Marty. If the pet peeve surfaces in your life again, the blood of Christ will cleanse you if you confess it. And once you confess it, Homer, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. The big, big dog, Pastor Dave, said, you did it. Help me out with it. Why? Because you wanted to. He nailed it. Either I died to sin, big dog, or I didn't. Either I died or I ran off with that woman. Not because she's better looking than my wife. Why did I do it, big dog? Because I wanted to. I ran off with that man. Well, I didn't run off with a man. But no, I didn't. No. You know what I mean? Oh, God. Not because, for no other reason, I did it. Why? Because you wanted to. I hit that door jam. I didn't want to hit that door jam. But I said what I said. Because I wanted to. Honesty is everything in the kingdom of God. It's everything. Six times in seven verses, he uses the aorist tense. In other words, it's not based on duration. It's not a progression. It happened. You died internally through the power of darkness, the sin's dominion. It died inside of you. So if you mess up, Lord Jesus, cleanse me of this pet peeve. Cleanse me, Lord. Wash me with the blood of your son. Make me white as snow. Bam. It's over. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why should I consider myself dead to sin? Because you died. You're not gonna die internally. You died the day you got born again. I'm gonna say this, winding down. I was down for about 5 days the other day. And I felt like a punk. I felt like a flat out punk. I do not like missing church. I love coming to church. I was in bed for 5 days. That's enough of that. But I felt like a punk. The word of God inside of me. The Spirit of God inside of me, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I couldn't get this filth off me, man. That made me mad. That should not be. And I felt like a punk at home for 5 days. We're peculiar people, man. We are peculiar people. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. Today I heard the message Pastor Bonk did Sunday. Man, what a message on endurance. I loved it. I loved it. Finally heard it today. We are taught so well in this little church. Let me land the plane with this. It's Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. To finish off this teaching regarding the pet peeve in my life, and I know you don't have any pet peeves in your life. I know you don't. That's why we're raising the dead right now, right? This is what Paul said. But God be thanked that you were the servant of sin. Where is the what tense? The what? Past tense. But God be thanked, Gary Flint, that you were the servant of sin. Though you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, having been set free from sin, you became the servant, the slave of righteousness. So you obeyed this doctrine from the what? From the heart. You obeyed it from the heart. Then what happened when you obeyed this doctrine of freedom from the heart? You died, Homer. You died. What doctrine? The doctrine was that you died and you rose again with him. The doctrine of grace. But God, we think that you were, Homer, you were the servant of sin. But you, though you have obeyed from the heart, not the mind, the heart, for doctrine delivered you. Having then been set free from sin, you became the servant, the slave of righteousness. That is cut and dry. It is never Pastor Bronk's fault. It is never my wife's fault. Sometimes it's Miss Candy's fault. It's plain. True kingdom living never blames anybody. Pastor Dave just say it all the time. You were offended, it's because you had the capacity to be offended. He nailed it too. Did you get something out of this?
Yes, very good.
The first seven chapters, the word aorist tense is used 6 times, meaning it's done. No duration, no progression inwardly. If necessary, it happened. Now, outwardly, we got to fast. How do you know? Because Matthew 6 says so. That's one of the first major teachings that he did. So, we got to fast. When you fast, that is not even up for negotiation. Not even close. Got to pray in the spirit. But you're dead to sin internally. You still got a body of sin. But the more you realize, the more your mind of your spirit is edified and transformed into knowing that you're free, it gets easier and easier and easier not to slip up. And I'm not talking about deal breaker sins. I'm not even remotely talking about that. Not even remotely close talking about that. Someone once said, well, this is foolish here. Well, I'm going to commit adultery this time, but I'm mortifying my flesh. It's not mortified yet. You dummy. You dummy. You're in dangerous ground, man. I'm going to stop looking at pornography, but I'm not mortified yet. You're an idiot. You're an idiot, and that's your mindset. I'm going to watch pornography this last time because I'm not dead to it yet. You're an idiot. Be careful, man. Be real careful. But God be thanked. Homer, you were past tense the servant of sin. But you, Homer, though you have obeyed from the heart that former doctrine delivered you, being then made free from sin, Homer, you became a servant of righteousness. Last reiteration, I am not talking remotely about deal breaker sins. The big dog got it right years ago. There's a sanctified no where we put that junk off when right there. Paul said the same thing. Put on and put off. The aorist imperative. Now do it. That is what the Holy Ghost taught me regarding my pet peeve. He revealed to me his word. I read the dictation of the Holy Spirit, Romans 6. It has done wonders to me and for me. And I pray to God that if you do have a pet peeve in your life, whatever it may be, it's your business. The Lord told me specifically, share your heart with the people. Some of them did, just like you did.
Yeah, it's good. It's great.
So I did. Between you and God, I was completely upfront with you. I will live kingdom. And I will see kingdom. We don't just preach the gospel. We believe there's so much more. Why? Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts is right in front of us. That is the full gospel of the kingdom. That, my friends, the doctrine we believe that we were set free from sin. So we've overcome sin. Now let's transform our mind and receive this great outpouring to change this nation. Amen. Big dog, thank you.
you, Jesus. Man, that's good. Rich, 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 rich. Conference started tonight. Hallelujah. Basically, I'm telling you, that coffee kicked in, didn't it? That was awesome. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. You are blessed, and we just bless you in Jesus' name. Father, we bless them. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for your covering over their life. And we just speak life over them, Jesus. And we just pray that you'll go with them and guide them in all things. And we bless all our family in the camera tonight in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday. I'll either see you up there or you'll be watching here. Blessings. Amen.